నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణకృష్ణాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదం పాశ్చాత్య దేశపాలి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి. Today we are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, entitled The Hamsa Guhya Prayers, Text 33. Yo anukrahartam bhajatam padamoolam Yo anukrahartam bhajatam padamoolam ప్రసీదతు మే హి వీనసతు. Translation number 4 by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Swarupa. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is inconceivably opulent, who is devoid of all material names, forms and pastimes, and who is all-pervading, is especially merciful to the devotees who worship His lotus feet. Thus, He exhibits transcendental forms and names with His different pastimes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, be merciful to me. Therefore, in regard to the significant word Anama Rupaha, Sri Sridhara Swami says, Prakrita Nama Rupo Rahito Api. The word Anama, which means having no name, indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material name. Simply by chanting the name of Narayana, we call his son Ajamila, attain salvation. This means that Narayana is not an ordinary mundane name. It is non-material. The word Anama therefore indicates that the names of the Supreme Lord do not belong to this material world. The vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not a material sound, and similarly the form of the Lord and His appearance and activities are all non-material. To show His causeless mercy to the devotees as well as to the non-devotees, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in this material world with names, forms and pastimes, all of which are transcendental. Unintelligent men who cannot understand this think that these names, forms and pastimes are material, and therefore they deny that He has a name or a form. Consider with scrutiny the conclusion of non-devotees who say that God has no name, and that of the devotees who know that His name is not material or practically the same. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material name, form, birth, appearance or disappearance. But nevertheless, He takes His birth, Janma, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.6. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam isharopi san prakritem swam adhishtaya sambhavayatma mayaya. Although the Lord is unborn, Aja, and His body never undergoes material changes, He nevertheless appears as an incarnation, maintaining Himself always in the transcendental state, Shuddha Sattva. Thus, He exhibits His transcendental forms, names and activities. That is His special mercy towards His devotees. Others may continue merely arguing about whether the absolute truth has form or not, but in a devotee, by the grace of the Lord, sees the Lord personally, he becomes spiritually ecstatic. Unintelligent persons say that the Lord does nothing. Actually, He has nothing to do, but nevertheless, He has to do everything, because without His sanction, no one can do anything. The unintelligent, however, cannot see how He is working and how the entire material nature is working under His direction. His different potencies work perfectly. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natat samascha vyadikasya drishyate, parasya shaktir vividaya shuyate, svabhavikaihi jnana bhala kriya cha. Sveta Shruta Upanishad 6.8. He has nothing to do personally, for since His potencies are perfect, everything is immediately done by His will. Persons to whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not revealed cannot see how He is working, and therefore they think that even if there is God, He has nothing to do or has no particular name. Actually, the Lord's name already exists because of His transcendental activities. The Lord is sometimes called Guna Karma Nama because He is named according to His transcendental activities. For example, Krishna means all attractive. This is the Lord's name because His transcendental qualities make Him very attractive. As a small boy, he lifted Govardhana hill, and in his childhood, he killed many demons. Such activities are very attractive, and therefore he is sometimes called Giridhari, Madhusudana, Aganisudana, and so on. Because he acted as the son of Nanda Maharaja, he is called Nanda Tanuja. These names already exist, but since non-devotees cannot understand the names of the Lord, he is sometimes called Anama or nameless. This means that he has no material name. All his activities are spiritual and therefore he has spiritual names. Generally, less intelligent men are under the impression that the Lord has no form. Therefore, he appears in his original form as Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha, to carry out his mission of participating in the battle of Kurukshetra and pastime to protect the devotees and vanquish the demons. Paritranaya Saruna Vinashaya Sadhutam. This is his mercy. For those who think that he has no form and no work to do, Krishna comes to show that he indeed works. He works so gloriously that no one else can perform such uncommon acts. Although he appeared as a human being, he married 16,108 wives, which is impossible for a human being to do. The Lord performs such activities to show people how great he is, how affectionate he is, and how merciful he is. The Lord performs such activities to show people how great he is, how affectionate he is, and how merciful he is. Although his original name is Krishna, Krishna's Bhagavan Swayam, he acts in unlimited ways, and therefore, according to his work, he has many, many thousands of names.
ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋವೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋವೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಃ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಶಾಖಲಾಂಕಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಕರಕಮಲಂ
Praise are not something that we use occasionally in our life, but prayers have to be an integral part of our life. It is in fact prayer can be considered as the steering wheel and the pushing force through which your vehicle moves forward in this material world to progress. Nothing happens without the grace and the sanction of the Lord. Therefore, prayers are not just a panic button that you press, then there is some danger. But it's just like a steering wheel that you hold on, and you should constantly steer your life through, direct your life through various challenges. So here we are fortunate to hear the Hamsakriya prayers, which is already there in the Vedic scriptures and is being recited by Prajapati Daksha, who will find the Lord. It began with describing the transcendental nature of the Lord, how he is above the three modes, he is transcendental to Maya, and how he is the supreme controller. He is unlimited, he is omniscient. How he cannot be seen by those in the conditioned state. Then we saw about how devotees can find the super soul just like brahmanas extract fire from firewood. And that vision of the Lord is possible only by transcendental loving service. Having described the qualities and how he can be attained, the petition is made, may that Lord be merciful unto me, may that Lord favor me, may that Lord help me. So that's how the prayers are progressing. Then the theme of how the Supreme Lord is beyond the material creation. He cannot be ascertained by his material sound, intelligence, senses of the mind. You need spiritual senses to understand his spiritual nature and the form. And as the Gita Krishna describes, he is a resting place. So the same thing we see. Supreme Brahman Krishna is the ultimate resting place. He is the ultimate objective, ultimate doer, source of everything, cause of all causes. He is the resting place, he helps us to be stably situated, he is the goal, and he is the doer. He possesses unlimited transcendental qualities, and these qualities are being debated by the theists and the atheists, which is what was covered by Kopanil Group yesterday, about how two sets of spiritual seekers, they debate. Absolute truth has form. Others say absolute truth doesn't have form. And Srila Prabhupada tries to resolve in the mode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to resolve the constant conflict between the Dvaita and Advaita. So that's why we have the simultaneous oneness and difference. Yes, there is oneness, then the impersonalist will be happy, then there is difference also, then the dualist will also be happy. Then the conflict of how Lord has no form, he has no qualities, he has no activities, that's one side. And then he has form, he has activities, and he has qualities. So that theme is, that's one of the themes that's being brought up in today's verse, along with the other themes of how the holy name is non-material, how the passings of the Lord are not ordinary, why he does those pastimes, then the beauty of his form, how we can see, what we can get by seeing the Lord, and then at least in a couple of occasions, the mercy of the Lord was described in the prayer itself, in the word-to-word meaning, and having invoked, having glorified the Lord as all merciful, then the prayer ends with saying that Such a Lord, be merciful unto me. What I thought of doing is to start off by describing the glories of the Holy Name, especially touching upon the fact that the name is non-material. That's how the purport begins. Having no name, Prabhupada takes up this thread of anama rupaha. From that he picks up in the purport, having no name. But then he goes on to say that this name, Narayana, which was the whole pastime was described and elaborated upon to bring about this potency of the holy name, Narayana. How Ajamila got delivered? By chanting the holy name. Because by chanting this name, you got salvation. You got out of the material existence. The potency of the name is so powerful that it takes you out of the material world. Therefore, it should not be considered that it is material. It should not be considered that it is a product of this material nature. Something that can take you out of the material world cannot be of this world. Therefore, it's not a mundane name, that's what Prabhupada says. It's not material. So he concludes, the word anama therefore indicates that the names of the Supreme Lord do not belong to this material world. So I got a few points from His Holiness Mahanidhi Swami's book on chanting. He elaborates on and brings about this point that holy name has got nothing to do with this material world. It is not a combination of material words and syllables. Holy name is itself Satchitananda, eternally blissful and conscious. And he quotes the famous words, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It's touchstone, Nama Chintamani touchstone. The name of Krishna is touchstone and it is not something dull. It is full of life, Chaitanya, living force. It has living force in it. In his usual style, Prabhupada brings about this high philosophy understandable to a common man. How does he say? He says that in this material world, there is an object, and then when you want that particular object, for example, water. If you want water, you need to actually go and drink the water to taste it. If you simply call out for water, 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 your thirst is not going to be quenched. But the name of Krishna is so potent that just by calling out the name, you can keep on chanting the name of the Lord continuously and you won't feel tired. This is the first example Prabhupada gives. And then any other mundane name, like say Mr. John, Mr. John, Mr. John, you can keep on chanting. But after some time you will feel tired and you will give it up. But the name of Krishna is not like that. You can keep on chanting for hours together and you won't get tired. This proves that the name of the Lord is not material. It is part of the Lord's Swarup Shakti. Swarup Shakti is made of Ladini Shakti, which is the pleasure giving potency, and the Samvit Shakti, which is the knowledge potency. So these are governed by, Ladini Shakti is governed by Srimati Radharani, and the Samvit Shakti is governed by none other than Lord Balaram. Therefore, we understand that the holy name is touchstone, it is non-material, it is full of life. One which is got life gives life to those who don't have life. So that's why by chanting you become spiritually enlightened, come back to life. Now, within these names, as described in this particular purport, there are primary names, which are called Mukhya Nama, and then there are secondary names, which are called Brahma Nama. So, the principal names, and then there is secondary names. So, the principal names eternally exist, describing the qualities of the Lord in the spiritual world according to the activities He does, according to the qualities that He possesses, according to the pastime that He has in the spiritual world. So, these names exist eternally. So, the examples of such principal names are Krishna, Rama. Some of them we see in this today's purport as how Lord acts in relation to His devotees. Sri Nanda Nandana, Yashomati, Pranadana, Giridhari, Madhusudana, Agar Nishudana. So, these are listed in the purport, and some of them which are not listed in the purport are easy for us to remember, are the three principal ladies in Vrindavan. So, what are the three principal ladies in Vrindavan? Who represents Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayasa? Sorry?
Radha
Madan Mohan. Very good. So, Radha Madan Mohan. So, Madan Mohan is one of the principal names of the Lord. Then? So, Sambandha then?
Kishore
Gopinath. Yeah, Gopinath. Is the last.
Radha Govindji.
Radha Govinda, who engages us in the process. And then the goal is Gopinath, as Hagir was saying, Kishore Gopinath. So these are some of the principal names along with Yam Shyam Sundaram. So Shyam Sundara is also a principal name, and Madhava is also the principal name. So you can remember Vrindavan, Radha Shyam Sundar, Mayapur, Radha Madhava, then in Vrindavan itself, Madan Mohan. Then Radha Govind and Gopinath. So these are the principal names, Mukhya Nama, and then there are secondary names. Secondary names, what could be some of the secondary names of the Lord other than the principal names? What could be some of the secondary names? Vasudev, it is in connection to His father, but it's still under the principal name. So, secondary name, just to give a clue, it describes his activities in relation to the material world. So, as Daksha himself described, as we saw how the Lord is the, what is the relation of the Lord with the material world? He maintains, very good. Then, because he maintains, he controls also, right? So then, we call him controller, owner, Jagatpati, Srishtikarta, one who creates, and Ishvara, supreme controller, Ishvara, Paramaha, Krishna, Visera. So the word Ishvara. Then, the three stages of realization, what are they? Absolute truth can be realized in three stages. Brahman, Paramatma. These Brahman, Paramatma. So, as Krishna described in the Gita, just by a fraction of my potency, I maintain this. That's the Paramatma it's talking about. So, these are the secondary names. Now, what differentiates between these? As we saw, is that the principal names describe his super excellent qualities, Krishna, as the sweet, all attractive source of all the mellows, rasas, that they are his principal names. And his dealing with loving reciprocation with the devotees, how he maintains, how he is born as a son, how he maintains the cows, who gives life to Mother Yashoda, how he is the controller of the gopi, Gopinath, or the head of Nath is the person who is adored and loved. And the control in spiritual world is not through power, it's through love. So Shyam Sundaram, the secondary name that you saw is in relation to the material world. So the difference is that if you chant the primary names, you get love of God, you get prema by progression through all the stages. Before prema is bhava, then we know the sequence. So that is what the principal names can give you. If you follow the process according to the connecting through a proper bona fide spiritual master, that's what you get. Now, if Maharaj explains that we don't chant Paramatma, Paramatma, Paramatma like that, we chant the other names of the Lord. What if one is focused on getting some material benefits, they'll be attracted to the secondary names. Why? Because if you see in this material world, if a person is coming and displaying his beauty, opulence, sorry, just his beauty, just his charm, it's less likely that we get attracted. But if a person comes with big opulence, big power, big followers, a person, for example, walks in with the, or drives in a big car, he's got bodyguards, he walks up, he steps out of the car, and then everybody turns towards, the focus is on him. So the material world, the focus is to get these facilities, these opulences, and then when the Lord has them, we want to get that from the Lord. And that's the inner mind, the motive behind these prayers offered by Daksha at this point of faith is to become powerful again and to create progeny. And that's where the Lord will also come in his 800 form, full of opulence, in Garuda. That's how he will reveal. So, coming back to this point, the secondary names give this kind of benefits, material elevation, salvation. They give piety, but they do not give love of God. So that's the key difference between Mukhya and one of the key differences between Mukhya and Gaudanam. So Mukhya Nam, they exist in the spiritual world, they give love of God if you chant in the material world. The secondary names describe the Lord in connection with the material world. How is the controller maintained? And you get piety, material elevation, and salvation, but you don't get love of God. Now this particular purport has got the full package, Nama, Rupa, Guna, and what's the next? Leela. So that's the sequence in which it is revealed. Prabhupada puts all of that in the purport. Having seen the glories of the name and the classification of it, now we move on to see the form of the Lord. When he appears, as described in this purport, Adyopisan, Avyayatma, Bhutanam, Isharopisan, Prakritim Swam, Adishaya, Sambhavam, Asamaya. So, in this purport, this particular verse 4.6, so Prabhupada describes, and in this section of this particular chapter, Krishna describes why he appears. How he appears. So why he appears, one of the reasons is his causeless mercy, and that's the constant theme that comes up in this particular purport. And that's how Prabhupada says that the word Atma Maya describes, refers to Lord's causeless mercy. Sambhavami Atma Maya. So the appearance of the Lord, although he is unborn, he doesn't have faith, but he still does it so that he can bestow his causeless mercy to his devotees. Then the famous verse after this is the reason for Krishna's appearance. Why does Krishna appear? For two reasons. Famous theme. Paritranaya to protect the devotees and to annihilate the demons. So he comes. Now when he comes, the birth, appearance and activity again are not material. It comes under the internal potency of the Lord. So when he appears in his original form. So there is no change of body for the Lord, and that's how the Lord will instruct Arjuna in this particular chapter. So you have changed bodies, whereas I don't change. That's the reason why you have forgotten, whereas I don't forget, because I don't change my body. I appear in my actual eternal form always. Although I appear to take birth, grow, and Prabhupada said, you have never seen Krishna growing beyond youth. Never yet, he is always youthful. Even when he was fighting, he was present in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, guiding Arjuna. He had grandchildren, but he looked like a young boy. So this is how we see that his appearance, growth, are all to perform his pastimes, to draw that particular emotion from his devotees. Because he is capable of reciprocating, Lord Krishna is capable of reciprocating with different devotees in different capacities. In the prison house, when the Lord appeared in his four-handed form, the parents cannot take the four-handed form and keep them on their lap, sing the lullaby, put him in a cradle or anything like that. They requested, please appear to us in your two-handed form to reciprocate with him in that mood of parenthood, like vatsalya. So that's the kind of emotion which Krishna is drawing when he appears in his two-handed form as a baby. Because he's all attractive, and then he's able to draw this particular kind of rasa or mellow from his parents, and therefore he gets a particular name. And that's how it's kind of, so he has qualities, he exhibits it, and then he draws a particular emotion from the devotees. And as Prabhupada described in this purport, Nanda Kamucha. Lord Brahma described in his prayers like how Lord Krishna, along with his cowherd boys, is returning from having done his duty. He doesn't have a duty to do, but he takes up that service of herding cows, taking them to the forest, and then coming back. He's on his way. So that particular scene is described by Lord Brahma in his prayers. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head. So this is starting to describe the rupa, form of the Lord. And this is what Brahma describing. And the scene is that Krishna along the cowherd boys are returning after having done their pastimes. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnika flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaidyanika garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he enters the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Now, what was decorating Krishna's ears? Sharp snake ears. Very good. But we didn't describe that in this particular verse. What did we see just now? Karnika gloves. So that's the difference. So, Mother Yashoda will dress him up with all has whatever he, she wanted him to wear. But when he goes to the forest, the boys, they take him aside and they start decorating Krishna with whatever is there in the forest. That's where we see Kalinga flowers. I've seen this in several temples, and we see the decoration of Radha Chandra or Radha Mother. And then when you see the same decoration of the Lord in Tirupati, or you see the difference, it's very obvious. You see them, side by side. The mood is that of Krishna is ours. That's the mood of those in Vrindavan. Krishna is ours, and we can decorate him according to the way we like. So he accepts that particular kind of reciprocation, love. Whereas in Vaikuntha it is, I am Lord, I am surrendered to you. And he has got opulence, and he has got power, and we decorate him accordingly like a king. So as soon as you enter the temples, you will see the difference. So you can't just casually go into Vaikuntha and put your hand around Lord Vishnu there. He doesn't gel. Whereas the gopas, they play with the Lord, and they decorate him, and they feed him, and they massage his feet. And the Lord also does that. And in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, the Lord says that he takes the initiative. Let me go and check for the cows and the calves which might have gone astray. And that's how the whole pastime begins. And when he walks out, Brahma takes the copper and the gopas. So he is also reciprocating with the devotees in a particular mood. And accordingly, he gets a particular name. So that's how I made the connection between the activities of the Lord and the name that he gets, and how he also draws different mellows from the different devotees. And this particular aspect of drawing different emotions from the different devotees, the same form of the Lord, draws different emotions from different people. Some could be devotees, some could be demons. And this is graphically described when Krishna and Balaram enter the wrestling arena. So Kamsa, although he has been constantly thinking of the Lord, it is an unfavorable way. He arranged a set of elephants, just one elephant, Kolayapida, just before entering, so that Kolayapida itself will take care of Krishna and he will kill. So that didn't happen. And now Krishna having killed the elephant, he is entering the, along with Balaram, Krishna is entering the wrestling arena. In the wrestling arena, there are different people and different grades of devotees, different set of devotees, and there are demons also. So, as we saw in the Gita, he is going to draw the emotions, protect the devotees, and he is going to annihilate the demons, and he is going to prove that. So that's what we see. Whatever is described in the Gita is elaborated and it is demonstrated, and we have a practical proof of what he says and what he does. So coming back to this scene, here various group of people see Krishna in various ways. The wrestlers. The wrestlers were very Mushtika and Chandu. So the wrestlers see the form of the Lord as a thunderbolt. Mallana Ashanir Nina. So the wrestlers are seeing Krishna as a thunderbolt. Then the men of Mathura, they are seeing Krishna as she said, this is the best form of male that we have seen. Best male form. They seem as the best of males. So, Allah Ashanir, Nirnam Naravara. Nirnam is the men. And then, they seem as the best of the males. Now, the women in the arena, they see Krishna as Cupid personified. Srinam Smaravutimam. So the point that I made about how God is drawing different emotions from different people, and that's being gradually demonstrated here. With the gopas, the cowherd boys think, oh, he's our friend. He's our friend. He's our relative. And he's the one who we joke, and that mood is being drawn from the cowherd boys. Now, the focus changes to those rulers who are not very pious and they are like a burden to the earth. That's why Krishna came to relieve the burden. So they see impious ruler, they see Krishna as a chastiser. He is the person who we need to watch out. He looks like a boy, but actually he's not. Then, switching on to his parents, they are seeing him after a long time. Vasudeva Devaki, it draws those emotions where we miss seeing him growing up and now we are seeing him after a long time. So it drew that particular emotion from them, which is as a parent of Vasudeva and Karuna. So, the word actually kind of puts you in a demon devotee like that. So, the next, you saw devotee, now it's going to Kamsa. Kamsa is seeing Krishna as death personified. Mrityu Bhojapade. Kamsa is seeing Krishna as death personified. And those who are unintelligent, who cannot appreciate the form of the Lord, they see Krishna as a Virata Rupa, or the identical form. Those who meditate on the Paramatma, they see him as the Paramatma, as the absolute truth, and they are in a more neutral exchange with the Lord. And finally, the Vrishnis, they see him as the worshipable deity, Vrishnina Paradeva. This particular verse, 10:43:70, graphically brings out how Krishna is able to draw different emotions just by the form. He draws different emotions from the different set of devotees and the demons, and it's interesting to note that it is this form, as we were seeing the contrast between Vaikuntha, Vrindavan, Vishnu and Krishna, even Lord Mahavishnu wanted to see this form of Krishna, which means he is attractive to him also. That's why the whole pastime of stealing of the Brahma sons, continuously they pass away, and then Brahma comes in. You know, the whole pastime. And that's when Krishna and Arjuna travel and they meet Mahavishnu, and then Mahavishnu reveals his heart. So Krishna is able to attract even Mahavishnu. And that's why he is the Akhila Rasa Amrita, so he is the embodiment of all the rasas. Again, connecting to the exchange that he has with the devotees, he gets the name. With Nanda Maharaj, with Nanda Chandu. While describing the form, we have also touched upon some of the qualities. And the key quality which comes up in the scene is all merciful. He is so merciful that even to demons who come to kill him, Krishna gives them different gradations of salvation. So, we see that Narasimhadev kills Hiranyakashipu. Then he takes birth again. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they get killed by Varahadeva and Narasimhadev. They take birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna. They get killed by Lord Rama. Again, they take birth as is it Kamsa and Kamsa and Shishupala. So when they get killed by Dandava. So when they get killed by Krishna, they don't come back again. This is the mercy of the Lord. And the verse which describes the mercy of the Lord, and when this particular verse was sung, this changed the mind of Sukadeva Goswami himself. Deve gatim ratri uchitam sadonyam kamva dayalam sharanam prajayam. So the Lord is so merciful that he gives, for he gave the post of a mother to Putana. What's the nature of Putana? She came with the ill motive of killing Krishna. Having smeared her breast with poison, she comes and feeds milk, poison milk, to Krishna. Krishna takes the essence, oh, you have come to give milk. So therefore, he, through his merciful nature, he gives that dhatri, position of that mother in the spiritual world. Deve gatim ratri uchitam sadonyam kamva dayalam sharanam prajayam. To that merciful Lord I take shelter. Again, the purport point talks about Kurukshetra battle. Even in the battlefield, as the Lord was glancing upon the opposing armies, he was bringing down the duration of their life. And as the opposing party was shooting arrows against Arjuna, and when they were seeing the Lord and Arjuna in the chariot, they were so attracted by the form of the Lord that as they were seeing the form of the Lord, the arrows were piercing their heart and they were leaving the body, seeing the Lord. This is also his mercy. Parthashtraputa Paramapurasya. The arrows are piercing, they are going through pain, but they are seeing the beauty of the Lord and they are leaving the body. So now, any person who sees the form of the Lord or remembers the time of death, they don't come back. So accordingly, Krishna gave liberation to different sets of demons also. And this is his merciful nature. His appearance, Prabhupada says, is also his mercy. Then his pastime that he does is also his mercy. Now the pastime that he does, even after he disappears from the world, there continues to discuss over and over again. And each pastime has got a particular significance. Prabhupada quotes the lifting of Govardhana hill. It was done to subdue the pride of who? Krishna subdued the pride of who in Govardhana pastime?
Indra.
So when the demons get killed, each demon represents a bad quality and that gets removed. So the pastimes, even after he is gone, when we read those pastimes, those demonic qualities get killed, which means his potency is acting even after he disappeared from this world. Krishna goes a step further and says that I don't reside in Vaikuntha. I reside in a place where my devotees are constantly discussing my pastimes. Naham Tishtami Vaikuntha. Yoginam Pradeshiva. I don't reside in Vaikuntha, nor do I reside in the heart of the yogis, but I reside in a place where my pastimes are constantly getting discussed. Yatra Gayanti Mansvasta, Tatra Tishtami. Wherever my pastimes are described, there I am. So, when the Lord does his pastimes and all of that, he also elevates the consciousness of those who he is coming in touch with. Because of this all attractive nature, because of the wonderful activities that he does, the focus of those who are very selfish changes from being selfish to selfless. We see the, so this is not like an application part of what we've learned, why he's coming. From our own application part of it, we see these qualities attract us, and we are moving from being selfish gradually to selfless. So that transformation happens as described in the Gita, the Yoga life, all of that. Sakama to Nishkama, to removing all the attachments. So that's why the fourth chapter, as Prabhupada gives here, transcendental knowledge is there between the third, fourth, third and the fifth. After you gain transcendental knowledge, you transition from sakama to nishkama, which is sakama is I'm attracted to the work and I'm attracted to the results also. Having heard the qualities, pastimes, and the nature of the Lord, the attachment to the results starts to go away. Then you transition from sakama to nishkama because you're becoming detached from the results, you still attached to the work. Okay. You gain, so Prabhupada describes in the fourth chapter introduction in the first few pages. So by this selfless service, the person rendering selfless service, he becomes eligible to attain transcendental knowledge. And with transcendental knowledge, you progress. And for those who want to study, there are pastimes of the Lord. Those who want to meditate, there is a form of the Lord. So all of them can be connected. Now, the starting point of all of this is, like, I like to work and I will dedicate the results of my work to Krishna. I like to read, I will read Krishna's pastime. I like to meditate, so I will meditate on the form of the Lord. But bhakti is the other way around, what Krishna wants. Starting from Krishna, working backward, that's the key point in bhakti. What does he want? When does he want? How he wants? So that's how bhakti is the other way around. You're not starting from yourself. Starting from Krishna. To start from Krishna, you should know him. You should know his pastimes, qualities, his wonderful, merciful nature. That is how you connect. Okay, if I want to do pure devotion, then I start from what Krishna wants. That transition, all of this, hearing all of this pastimes has to lead to that point where it starts from what Krishna wants. Although I'm describing all of this, I've got a long way to go. Got so many shortcomings myself. But I'm confident that by following this process, I'll be able to overcome them. I conclude with this particular beautiful verse from the beautiful prayer by Lord Brahma describing all of this, his forms, his leela, and then the transformation happening. This is Lord Brahma saying, my mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you can be found in it. So, Brahma is addressing the Lord. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions. So, Daksha is going to ask for benedictions. To create progeny, to become all of them. So, this is what we see after seeing the Lord, heart transformation happens. Brahma space. Coming back to that point, you are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon the residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So Krishna gave himself to Putana. Now Brahma is wondering, he is asking in a rhetorical way, you have given yourself to Putana, then what is left in you to give to other devotees in Vrindavan? What can you give to them? Because you have given already yourself to his demoness Putana and all her relatives. What is left for you to give to these devotees of Vrindavana, whose homes, wealth, this is what the residents of Vrindavana are sacrificed. This is the nature of devotees of Vrindavana, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, their own bodies and their children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you. What can you give to those residents of Vrindavan who are giving all of this to you? Because you have already given yourself to Putana and her family members. This is 10, 14, 35. Esham kosha nivasina tavavan kim deva rate tinash cheto vishva kalatalam parakaram sutrataya muhyati sarve shadiva bhutanapi sakula kaneva deva pita yadhama kashudutriya tatanaya pranashaya svatkute yadhama kashudutriya tatanaya pranashaya svatkute. So I'll conclude there and see if there are any questions on what we discussed. Okay, there are no questions. Thank you. Tantra Asana Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sarva Upakara Ki Jai.